Blog Talk Radio.
To Liberty Talk Radio, America's Libertarian Voice, broadcasting to you in Tulsa, Oklahoma, around the world. I'm Joe Cristiano, and this is the introduction to Popular Talk Radio. Folks, it's time for us to defend our government, now before the systematic oversight and serving federal government's on our property, our free rights, and our liberty. What does we must shake, shaking regarding our political structure? We need revolutionaries in thought, dissidents in action. We recognize women do freedom and our constitution. Will we start? And this program is just about that. Today, we're pleased and honored to have Bublin as our guest. He's professor of economics at Georgia University and Global Econ Blog. He's author of several books, including The Rational Voter, named the best book of the year. He is currently working on All Roads Lead to Borders, a non-fiction graphic novel on the philosophy and social of immigration. And he's also written the book Poverty, Who Blame Me. I am Rutland Talk Radio.
Thanks for having me.
Well, this is my favorite subject, primarily because very few people are on the same page. Even people who are market living people. There are reservations about free market. There's a book somewhere, and they're afraid it's going to pop in the nose. To me, it just makes logical sense. And my argument to everyone, I wonder what kind of Christopher Columbus, when he came over here, so they would allow him to hear. You know? So it's amazing what's good for the goose. Gander. And with immigration in the United States, even before Christopher Columbus, Africa from the north and came here. There were no borders. But now the world changed, although that's in the first place. I'll keep my mouth shut and take it over.
I'll think about this question of liberalism for many years. Right, of course, even people. Free markets and freedom are very skeptical about immigration. You know, why is that? One story is that there's something especially dangerous for foreigners compared to people who are already here. I think the real story is just that people, naturally freedom-loving people, look at persons and judge differently and just hold them to a very standard. So, you know, when you see American, is there any, like, you're saying, this guy? The problem is not to go and keep them out of your country or them, but you know, foreigner, you find a small problem and then focus just on that, the big picture, and just seeing how much gain is from people from places where labor isn't very useful to places. Free immigration is about free trade, it's about free trade and labor. One difference being that right now, restrictions are so strict. There's enormous gains to the world, not only but to everyone fighting from letting people move to places where the labor protections are, but unfortunately, it's very hard to avoid conversations to any, and not just from normal, even from people who are normally different to bring up freedom, free trade, and freedom.
If it's afraid, I mean, I was born and raised in East New York. We become mine who lives on the floor. You know that. I don't want to be afraid of someone. I'm afraid of. I was afraid of people for the country. They were ones fearful. They to another country that may not have spoken the language, had little or no money. The way I had a, even my father did, came with nothing, and my wages of note on the deathbed, still claiming that he should have borrowed $14 from the church of the law. That's not a joke. I mean, these guys came with nothing, absolutely nothing, to work, and then sent back home to their family were in abject poverty, as my father said. Not a people in the United States. These people are foreigners. And it sounds strange. Because our mentality is such that we have something. But we have all these movies. Living Dead, you know, Walking Dead. We have metaphors for American society. We have become zombies for a system. And we are afraid of people. Free thinkers, craftsmen who come here and literally show us up.
Yeah, British stories are some of the most inspiring stories. And as long as in the past, this is where I think very few people. So we talk about done by Irish or German or Jewish immigrants years ago. Almost everyone gets to dies, and your stories resonate. So the idea that these stories are going in, and we have more of them. It's what people, and that's where they're going to go. Maybe they're going to go on welfare. Maybe they're going to go to public school and might test out a lot. Maybe they're going to make my job. You know, all of these fears, which though not absolutely able still, when you go and just think about, first of all these fears apply to someone who's born in this country. And second of all, you know, just to think about how you evaluate these kids or the most worst thing we find about them, the package of, you know, what is contribute, what can they do?
Have it been posed? I mean, you the argument that, you know, explorers, I know Columbus did not discover America. He is the one that put it on the map because of the European empires. But America, on a regular basis, 800 years before, there's all sorts of indications that they were. To North America. Now there is evidence that people from Southern Africa came across the Atlantic to America. You know, you even bring up the point that, you know, people came here and settled here for a while and they returned home, but they had a passport. How do they get in? When they ask permission of the natives, you know, the natives living here may step on your soil.
This is interesting because these immigrants, I would be afraid of born slavery and things. But I think that's what people have of, you know, like, is it immigration? Well, renting an apartment and getting it up, immigration. If they show guns and start enslaving people, it's an invasion. It's really hard to tell the difference. Widely loved figure, and it's, you know, since we're saying things, Columbus is quite ugly. Never all these that he brought, but these are concerns. The idea that someone come and get a job in McDonald's and one of the Philly, we get into things in the world that are so different in the past. If a bunch of people up in your land, you should be worried. They are going to go and kill you and take your. Not a woman. When they show up, they rent an apartment and a job, and they start contributing.
People should be afraid to live in Harlem. They should be afraid. Not the immigrants. They should be afraid of the car, you know.
There's been quite a bit of work on immigrant crime rates. The crime rates of the U.S. are a lot lower than those of native-born Americans. Especially naturalized immigrants, then they're very, very low. Or illegal immigrants are pretty similar to those of natives. But again, you know, the idea, so especially nervous about immigrants, you know what I mean? It's also one where in daily life, hardly any types of immigrants is sort of thing that we listen to a politician telling them about the murderers coming from Mexico. The idea that you're going to be working around Mexican immigrants is very few people because it seems dangerous and
experience that industry, you know, whether they visa or whatever, seems to be complementary to our system. So more, so much more eager to play, so much more eager to produce something to try to fit in. So these people who want to be, because it's the exact opposite of experience. And my view can't be back with the rest of the world, because I know people, I meet a lot of people, and this is my sample saying that, you know, if I had to be a person, I would probably be a native born.
Right. I mean, one of the striking things is that whatever good you say about it, when people start arguing, then they become bad. So if you were to say, look, I heard this really good workers, they have a great dad, I've heard people say, well, because they're dogs, I've heard them say they're habits. Spend their leaves in Sparta, and they will. So if they're bad workers, you don't like them. Because you don't like them. Really, what is that complaint? You're actually there for and I'm for others. There's, you know, in terms of arguing, I'm always leaping to the most negative. Like circles or where whatever positive then quickly turned into a cyber debating guy. Question, and then he turned from his complaint about how whether or not school, they're not knowing language. He says, now immigrants are taking up places at the best schools and they're surpassing us on academics. I said, so now the blame is that they're good students. So, well, they're poorly, that's a complaint. There you do, you're unhappy. You know, so if there's someone who talks about another person, no matter where they find fault, you're saying, well, you really just talk to them for some reasons other than what you're telling us, because it wouldn't be what they did was bad.
Well, you know, I'm not certain if he's listening or he's still here with us, but it's a fine person. And I said, do you want to yet? And he says, I can't. It's bombed. He said, our area has been bombed. And without that, a peaceful United States participating in the bombing of Yemen by selling Arabia's regime in the world, probably, you know, this entire nation, you know, a affiliation basis, you know, that's supposed to be. You know? And so, you know, he can't even go back to his home country because the United States, the partnership with Saudi Arabia, has destroyed the country. And we are concerned that he's come here and take someone's job. Where's our mentality? Have we lost our minds?
I mean, maybe we've had our minds. So immigration moves a bit from China and later from China, pretty much open borders during this period. I wonder, do people really have attitudes towards immigration back then? My story, we really see amount of people, they're really more welcoming to immigrants, attitude. That's more on the lines of, well, you can't keep people out, can you? And initially they realize, oh, wait, we can. No, let's go ahead. There's always this grandfathering where, of course, the people from 20, 30 years ago are okay, but now the big story of the closing or the near closing of the border in the 1920s. This is right in 1921, but they set quotas based on consensus. But then 3 years later, we based it on the 1890 census so that we can keep out all that arrived in recent decades. So Europeans, Italians, Jews, right? And people, groups that since then have shown themselves some of the biggest contributors to this the United States. But in the end, look at how little those groups in their home countries. They survived at all, actually.
The financial dynamics have changed remarkably. One time, you came here and you set foot on American soil. You were here. If you didn't find a job, if you become productive, you stopped to debt. Very simple. I mean, a basic formula that the cavemen now, when you're younger, apparently there are all sorts of government programs that you can do. The loss is necessary to fund work. You know, you can live with the dole and some people are not working. Do you blame the dynamic toward for the negative attitude toward immigrants today?
Somewhat, although it is not literally true that you could get money starved to death during the similar to U.S. law, they put in provisions and you can get a charge. Usually you had government provided at the local level or some level, and then of course it's private. So in those days, there were complaints.
Right.
Just worth pointing out. Today, in history, it's true that immigrants are eligible for welfare benefits. Although there are many restrictions, like there are waiting periods, you've got to go and pay your tax for 10 years. There are neutral quants on the amount of service immigrants today can today. For all groups, still looking at positive. Essentially, the groups that actually wind up getting more in paying taxes are the very elderly. Right? So, even very poor, as long as you show up young and start working, so you show up at 18, that's ideal, right? New taxpayers, mm-hmm. because they don't pay for education. Government programs in the world, still, when you crunch the numbers, it looks pretty immigration, with certain exceptions, especially specifically. People wondering, how is it possible? A big part of the answer is that a lot of things the government has done have cost us nothing to do with immigration. So, you mentioned in the government, whatever you think about foreign policy, this military really has nothing to do with immigration. The state is a giant thing, there'd be no need to have any further or planes or anything. So, really, being an immigrant is a lot like a person who you see at a movie theater where most of the people are. Right? It doesn't actually movie theater much of anything like grabbing up some extra revenue. The same goes for a lot of people, like servicing the national. Whenever there's a secession, Scotland's going to secede from Britain. Big question, well, what happens to the national debt? Now, if I'm a nationalist, I would say, well, let's that comes out and Scotland's not in that. If they're with that, then a new country with no national debt, all the national debt gets shoved over to the remaining people who then are going to see the habit of debt and they'll go up. Russia is essentially doing that in reverse, bringing people from other countries to become taxpayers and are burdened with a national debt that was raised up by previous generations of Americans. Now, another way that immigration winds up being a lot less. Again, comes from education. Education is, of course, huge. So, adding you for students in the K through $12,000 a year, crazy. But those are where the numbers are. Now, people often think about kids. The right thought experiment is this: if you take a family of two immigrants and a child, how many people did U.S. taxpayers provide for, right? Or how many people are paying for? They're only paying for one. The parents and their education paid for it. Look at a native family and a child. The taxpayers paid for all three. So that's where that's again talking about a cost saving. Just to be wonkish, in terms of the math, kids are way more expensive for trees because kids paying for their education as soon as they're born 5 years later. The reason what works for decades and decades before you have to pay. And factor interest costs, they're paying for in 50 years way cheaper than someone in 50 years. So these things from immigrants just may pay for their education, in Oregon. People are looking for this. What's going on with this just misanthropy? A human being and say, what can we say about this person? I mean, that is not a reasonable way to evaluate a human being. Let's go and make a list of all the good and bad before we start going and saying what is this person having or not. With immigration, there's such a tendency to to find anything bad in them and say, see, that's what's wrong with them. You know, if you were to live your life, you know, can I think of something bad about them and I don't want to be their friend, I don't want to have anything to do with them? No.
Well, it's our vision of myopic and one-sided. We only see...
Hopefully not of you.
I'm sorry? Generally speaking, I'm sorry. And if an immigrant, it's a takeaway. They look at the fact that immigrants, they do take something from society. Live here, you know, we live in the air, so we use the transportation. They very rarely what they contribute to society. We just like to look at one side of the coin. Do you experience that?
Yeah. All the time when people complain, rents, usually people are just doing something bad to say. Now, sometimes what the things they have to say just aren't legal. You know, so my dad, who's the greatest critic of immigration right now, and he said, you know, Brian is because the hospitals in Los Angeles shut down. I'm like, what? Hospitals in Los Angeles shut down? Weird. Thought I would have heard of it. Of course, it's just a fact. This isn't even a fact. All the hospitals in Los Angeles. Never mind, they're not immigrants are responsible for this thing that didn't happen. So we need to just look around, try to complain about, and then just repeat it. You're arguing with my dad, find that there is a complaint, and then I'll say, well, I'm wrong for this reason, and then without saying whether my reply is adequate or not, move on to another complaint, that one, then finally, through the past, we cycle back to the first complete amnesia that we were that we never even talked about it. Anyway, so this is where ultimately do you come down to claiming misanthropy, the stage ability of the human being, a way of looking at a person and then say, what I say that is bad about that, and I'm just going to dwell on that and dab at the big picture.
They always talk about, you know, the increasing amount of immigration. What people don't realize is that in Mexico, for example, people crossing the border to the actually ceased in the 1930s during the Depression with jobs. So where are your job opportunities? If there are no job opportunities, immigration naturally stops.
Right.
If there is a need for immigration increases, that's exactly what you want. You want the free market to be that way. You've polluted that entire step now. And so you're bringing in, quote, illegally only because we said illegal. So now we have people secondly step in here to work on a job that you or I would think of doing. You know, the bad people now because they came here illegally. What is that supposed to mean?
For sure. I remember my passion, my dad, who lives in Los Angeles, he said, well, there is one good passion, you know, the immigration.
Yep.
So, my dad lost half the. But he can't. But the idea might be some connection between really falling population and falling real estate prices in the area where you live. You're not in his mind. Just again, just hostility, just looking for some reason to go and complain about people. So, let me say this: as a teenager, I was a big myself. I was complaining about. I didn't like athletes. Didn't like kids. Anyone who didn't listen to my book. It is just a negative attitude. Just everyone and try to come up with something. This is when I'm like 14, 16 years old, and eventually I grew out of this thing. Eventually I achieved the wisdom. Don't be looking at people to find negative to say about them. Try to look at the positive. Or at least if you don't like somebody, move on with your life. Find someone around dwelling on how the person doesn't like bombs. I can't live because doesn't like bombs. So I would go back and tell my dad, like, what's wrong with you, kid? Can't you find something positive? But we were adults, and I see, well, you're still stuck at this level that I was 15 years old, looking around the world.
When I was in New York, it very much like that. And, you know, there was the Italian, there was the Jewish section. There was a black section, you know, and we all every other group. You know, and it's sort of like that. But I had a problem. I was in love with the Jews. They just didn't like me.
Well, you can explore the psychological risk on the surface.
All right. I do give speeches to universities and other groups. And sure. When you do, what are the main talking points you and that open borders, no borders whatsoever, are perfectly good, you know, get rid of borders. I mean, there are no borders between Kansas and Tulsa, but yet, again, I went through the archive with no police stopping me. I went from one state to the other, asked me for papers, same with Mexico, Canada. Now, what are the arguments you use to convince students who are vehemently opposed, usually, you know, to any form of goals?
So, I mean, usually, start just at the level of philosophy, and, you know, if we didn't have it, it seemed like a terrible thing to do to impose them in the first place. So, yeah, I have a thought experience. Imagine that you go to Haiti, you do work, and then you're ready to go home, and they just say you're not going to come back, right? And you say, why not? And, you know, they say, well, we're just not convinced about the country, and, you know, but I'm a citizen. Oh, case, welcome home. So, okay, well, why were you not? No reason. You know, it seems like a very horrible thing to do to another person who's trapped in Haiti for no reason. So I say, at least there's got to be a favor of letting people migrate. Some reason against it, but we just don't feel like it. So that by itself is one point. Just, you know, just what terms. I mean, people tend to think this is our land, our country, and we decide who joins. It's not like I actually agreed to be part of this. You're just born into it. You've got a constitution signed, but the constitution was not a real contract. It was not like every single agreed to it, so it was just passed the majority vote. A lot of dissenters who never consented, right? And this continues on to this day. And just one, so we are established, like, if there was a reason to not let somebody interest them in. And that's, once I got that, that's when I did social science. Usually it's started estimates of the economic of free immigration. The main thing that immigration does is economically move someone from a place with very little to a place with a lot. Why? Because we can produce a lot more in the world than we can produce in the third world. You know, imagine we'd be able to accomplish down in Haiti. Yeah. Right? This is not well. So whenever you've got someone, a world worker earning $20,000 a year in the U.S., that's $18,000 a barrel that is being deployed by immigration restriction. This is, you know, really think about with just the enormous increase in the wealth of the night. Right? Notice this is not just saying that if you put the U.S., our production goes up. Because the production of the world when you move people from low productivity to high productivity places, right? And, you know, how much? Where I, you know, what I see as the killer in favor of immigration, which is, you know, all the estimates of how much wealth of the world would go up open borders. Many trillions of dollars of pretty standard estimate is the wealth of the world in the long run if you people could just go to the world anywhere they wanted to. So, you know, once you're talking about that many dollars, anything you're worried about are going to be fried by comparison. Now, so, but then, of course, I do have other concerns. So we talk about also, what is the net contribution of the Treasury? Like, if you consume more in taxes than pay taxes, or the other way around, there, you know, that immigrants ultimately wind up paying more in taxes than they use. So, and factor in the contributions after them. Right? After that, go over, like, you know, immigration and crime. And immigrants actually have abortion rates. That seems to be very good immigrants. I've noticed that, you know, among immigration, usually there's sort of a get out of it to commit one horrible crime. If this person weren't here, this would have happened. You could do the same thing for any other criminal. Look, here's a Jewish criminal. Then another crime would be happening. Here's a Romanian, Italian criminal. It's a successful way to judge. You know, Ralph, so, you know, like, it's 16 by crime, right? The newer way of proceeding, although I understand that emotionally it's very, you know, binary, we're bad thing, and people, you know, and get revenge the entire group, because they want to just get rid of them. It's not more bad if they were thinking about anger illegally. 99.997% of the five people. No, and punish the entire group because there's a few people not focus our attention on bad people instead of doing collection of everyone who's in the group. So then, you know, about cultural effects. These, of course, are nailed down. But, you know, so, you know, like the middle like people think about is just, you know, French. There's a common view that in the past they learned English, now they don't. It's wrong. What we're going to see is that first generation immigrants have never been very good at learning English. They're now, and they weren't very good either. It's really hard for them to learn a new language to the point of fluency. But their kids, however, that's true. That was true in 1900, and in the data remains today. Kids, you're born in this country, you are almost certainly going to be fluent in English by adulthood. Even if you come here when you're under 10, you're going to be fluent. So there's a big problem with English. And in fact, this is in many ways less of an issue because in 1900, people in non-English-speaking countries spoke English. Today, people in non-speaking countries around the world learn this in school, they learn from universities. I've had many students born who speak unaccented English. Like, how is it that a girl from Peru, who didn't know she was 16, said it at all? From friends. Not meeting friends. Friends on television. I just watch friends, and so I have no idea. This kind of thing could never happen in 100, but today, an enormous population of people who are like, called assimilated. They're assimilated before here. We don't have to assimilate them. They know about us. They just assume there's no problem. And then, you know, the final issue, which I think is the most serious kind of libertarians, conservatives, I think Democrats as being the party of state, the Republicans as being the party of freedom, which I don't, but if you buy that's true that immigrants are democratic, people say, yeah, you know, they're just voting that way, they want to get a ton of welfare, you know, they need freedom. What's crazy is that even Indian Americans, who are, you know, the richest ethnicity in the United States and probably the most socially conservative in the United States, they have something like, it's like a 2% rate, you know, like, of any group, even their Democrats. So, like, if almost a group, regardless of whether they're taxes or collecting taxes or social views or anything else, you know, if they're all like Democrats, we're not on that. You know, my story is just very respectful to immigrants trying to go and appeal to them, which is sad because there's some things that are that they values that they're going to be appealing to immigrants. The whole story of racial algebra to saying, look, the whole thing is people coming and working their way up to success. That's what we're all about. If you'd say that, I think they get arguments, but unfortunately, they cannot say that most Republicans there is, this is what I really think of as just immigrants. I think hate is the wrong word, or empathy. It's not. I'm going, God, I want to destroy it. I'm just, ew. Right? They seem like it's an overly negative view of the attitudes. But I think it is. That's pretty fair, sadly.
You would think that the politicians would be a little better informed in the public regarding immigration. Right. I mean, you know, them in because they're not working for them, they're not of government, and that's that they bring up the ignorant arguments and excuses
we do. And it's
American people. So, and if you do know better, do you want to go and turn a presidential debate into an economics? Probably not. It works. You might remember my first professional voter, Why Democracy's Two Values. It's all about the general public has also used for immigration. And, their fears are generally unreasonable. But if you want to go and win votes for them, you don't tell them well, you tell them they're right. So I think that's most of what's going on. So politicians really are a lot more pro-immigrant than the general public. Probably a lot of the reason why the immigration has been a lot of the years is you may express a lot of hostility. They have a small angel on their shoulder saying,
some factories, the employees, immigrants, and they were immigrants because they worked for less money. They hired immigrants because they're kind, not many of merit, but people here to work. And take that argument. So let's get rid of the minimum wage, and whatever the immigrants want to work, that's what they get paid. They say, well, geez, that's enjoy all of American jobs. But no, right now, they want American jobs because they're not producing here. They're producing overseas. Factories are closing. Industrial production is still going up. It's going up because but if we wanted to put jobs back here, we would get minimum wage the exact opposite of the week. But our politicians say that, and all they say that highlight that an immigrant in harm somebody, and that's why I shouldn't allow anyone in here. But the 320 people that were harmed by the people who were here that same week.
So I agree with the thrust of what you're saying. I was making a small error to it. There is a very simple the Americans won't do this do jobs argument. But they'll do them if you raise the wage enough. Those will pick cucumbers if you pay them $20. And that's true. The argument is they're the jobs of only Americans. So if you have, yes, Americans would pick you cucumbers an hour, but if they pay $25 an hour, there would not be cucumbers here. That's really the key. This is pretty clearly the case with the nannies. Right? So there are a lot of American moms who right now want to hire immigrant women to get their kids. If you were to go and keep them out, those a very strict minimum wage that was strictly enforced, quite likely that the result would not be that American women go and hire nannies. The result would be, in that case, the child care is so expensive to not get this job anymore, and I'm just going to stay home with the kids. The loss of the women's activity being paid for by everyone benefited from them. I remember when I was a Korean who's head of the immigration studies, telling me this point about how well still do the jobs who pay them enough, right? But there are exist at all if you have to pay wages to get Americans to do them. Nannies, yeah. So you're worried about upper middle Americans can't afford nannies. I want to hire you, Brian, because this argument against immigration even more. Right. Well, on the one hand, you're right, that's not an argument with a lot of appeal, but what's the argument? Some very old American is going to stay home and not work in society because child care is so expensive to work. That's actually true. Happens all the time. We could get a lot of American women going and working out, if we super child care, we're so why is it that this argument won't convince any people? So much of it is entropy and just negative and suffering, which is positive.
My family, many years ago, were wealthy. They were the wealthy people people of Emily. They don't live around the people of Emily. Bad and evil living with them. And so complimentary because your live-ins, because they have a home, and this person who's illegal immigrant, why they're illegal in papers, I have no idea, but I'm just told that, but lived in this new house in the most expensive estate in the United States, mm-hmm. right? And I paid probably very little, but lived in a beautiful home. They had their own room, beautiful room, got all the chores. Then the chores, I think it's heavy duty, just with house chores. They literally had to heaven, you know? But everything had been some sort of decision that they would find people from jail. And you think, for what? Everyone's happy. Everyone's gaining by an American to do what this person did because they would do that. Everything's cohesive, so cooperative, so productive for everyone, and it's all illegal. To do whatever you wanted to do. Why did you do not infringe on rights others? Whatever to that that premise.
Yeah, so I mean that scenario is those people are the citizens of our country as the way most people see it. High human rights, just a job from a willing employer and live in their house with their consent. Why that doesn't to people. You know, so I think ultimately it does. A lot of people that I know who are very positive, I don't know that they actually called up the INS and reported someone. Have a friend or they meet someone's work. Then it's a human being. Then they feel guilty to actually go unfortunately.
Right.
But just to vote for it against an honest stranger, the same someone who would never strangle people with their bare hands and drop a bomb on them. Sight out of mind, I never have to meet them.
Well, we have a few minutes left. I need you to comment on President Trump's insistence on building this gigantic wall. Berlin Wall, to me, this is absolute insanity. And I heard on TV where he has proposed building solar power wall. It looks like a mesh fence with solar power. The cost is, oh my God, I want to say $13 billion, like that. And it would be the entire length of the border, but it would create so many millions of dollars worth of energy if it wasn't destroyed, And it would take dozens of years to break even, but that was a great deal. And to me, the whole they lost their mind together, So who knows how long they build this wall. If this wall, and if people want to get over it, they would panic and them. We would probably be in repair, $1 billion to repair it. But what's your opinion? And how do you answer to me, Mexico?
Right. So, he's building a wall. So, not only open borders, but they have investments for whatever borders we do have. So, I'm glad if the wall is built. On the other hand, out of all the ways that you spend tens of billions of dollars, the wall is probably one of the less bad because it's just not, a very cost-effective way to build. I think it's very likely they out of any immigration numbers that I talk to, their view is generally that you get more benefits by having more borders or something like that. The wall, because you have a ton of money to build a wall, is so in areas that are so horrible, one crosses there. So this is a budget for immigration enforcement. The wall seems like most ways of doing that. Being that Trump was elected, which now seems just fallen out, is just to change U.S. immigration law. So now you have immigration in the U.S. 1965 Immigration Act. The fact is the reason why almost all the legal immigration that's happened since 1965 has occurred. I intended to get immigration law by a funny loophole, which is essentially, in between 1924 and 1995, there was almost explicitly also maintaining the demographic of 1990. Right? That's what they done. After season, the rights and all that, it was kind of embarrassing to have so clearly racist. But it wasn't the U.S. when the U.S. wanted to actually open immigration up to non-immigrants. Wanted to go and see results by clean means. So that's where that's being put in the key measure of the 65 bill, which is the people who put this in very explicitly said, since the population of the U.S. had a right, only people with relatives in other countries, and then their relatives are right, but we won't ever say in law, and we won't be explicitly said. Not for a little while, but what they never did was that people in white countries are not coming to the U.S., people are not much more eager, and if you get a few people from non-white countries in the U.S., they could use frame to go and bring in those relatives. If they became citizens, they could bring in those relatives and so on. This is called chain migration. Key provision of all those you can sisters. And what brothers and sisters, they could bring in their sisters, bring in the relatives, spouses, and so on. Now, those people are just terrible. I think this is a way that we've managed stealth, accidental derision. And when Trump was elected, there'd be someone good enough to try to go and change this. But again, it looks to me media scandal to Mendel and taking focus. Maybe I just breathe a sigh of relief. Thank God that no one who actually knew what they was elected, because I think they actually gone and pretty much stopped immigration for the next 300 years. They could have actually brought in some new bad thing, and they're totally failing. Better than I expected.
That answers the argument that we have to war. We have to stop people bringing in drugs, and immigration. We focus on the drug traffic, which is bogus. But I mean, that would
right.
Very well, you know. But it's something like I understand. I see 500. Here, first the Mexican drugs because the people make a fortune and they hit the wall. They can build a hotel underneath the wall. You wouldn't even know they have money. And it would flow like crazy. Would be ground rather than above ground. They're spending a little bit of money. It's going to cost them $511, that's for sure. But what would
you grant? Yes. So, I'm a libertarian. I favor rates. Sounds like you do too.
Absolutely. Yeah.
My that, but again, just worried, I would say. It's a small problem compared to all the gains that we're getting. You go and take all the resources that you're trying to stop peaceful people from getting a legal job into fighting the problem that you're really worried about. Like in general, if you want to go and attack the problem, put resources on that problem, go and spend money on and much on a much bigger. Most of which is right. So if you want to loot, you either try to make everyone better, or you just be better, right? You just focus attention on the actual problem. So again, like whatever someone complains about immigration, always want to put the energy on that exact problem rather than going and executing a vast most of whom your concern does not apply to. They worry about immigrant criminals. All right, fine. Let's go and set up a time. We're going to be worrying about the vast majority of immigrants who are not criminals. Right? That's why we're focused on it.
I have a personal question.
Absolutely.
I'm most likely many officers wear in review. Do they argue? test what just allows.
I have the good fortune to be in choice-based economics, so there's sympathy for saying, but yes, but I have a lot of pushback. Pushback is of the lines, right? I have a lot of immigration minimum, we can't be sure that we're going to be fine, so we should just proceed on, or saying that extreme, then complaints that people have right now would for the first guy become true. Right, so I think that, that is sort of the best argument that I have. And I'll try to say, well, what else do we have? This doubling is a number beyond which we need to really, there have been all the social changes that have occurred where we've gone for that. So without actually knowing with certainty what's going to occur, so, freedom or ending slavery, before they happen, that those things work out. It's pretty hard to prove people work out. Say that we should, the assumption should be in favor of liberty.
Yeah.
Right? So it's not proved that everything's going to be fine with people, but the burden should be on people who go and keep people from getting or getting a job as a lawyer, that there's something that so my main reply to them is you're all wrong. Presumption that we're free of not in favor of successful. And the idea that things eventually won't get going, I just don't see it.
It's interesting. I have you we're out of time, but I'm fascinated by this conversation, so I hope you mind me. Have we ever used the we violate in a way the rights of the world, because we have over 7 military bases on foreign soil. That form of immigration by the military. And we go there to produce anything, but to control the situation. It's different in each location, but usually it's tankers and whatever and in the industrial complex. And yet, we feel like to be there. We should be there. It's supposed to be there. And when Jose wants to come over to pick, we vilify. To me, that's so disingenuous. I mean, the way we think of our Americans, the way we think.
I think the normal answer to that is military bases are there with the consent in compliance with the immigration countries, although a number of those military bases that are established under extreme duress, I think there's quite a bit to what you're saying.
Yeah, it's like my Uncle Louie. Some people go, I'm sorry to work over here anymore. You know what I mean? Quite frankly, he used to say this all the time. He belonged to that big organization. I forgot the name of the company. He'd say, quite frankly, if anything happened to you. To me, a base plan is no different than what my used to do 50 years ago. If you stepped on the street of a business that wasn't authorized, I'm sorry, but Cobb complains, he does things, you know what I mean? In other words, and we do the same thing. If Michael Louis was there, they used all these military bases when they opened up. We are so disingenuous. We talk from both sides of the mouth. We take both situations and we build our favor to an argument. I'm a frustrated American, I tell you this, on the face of the earth, because I don't say anything anymore. Those fine, enthusiastic words. I'd like to give you the last minute.
Sure. So everything you were saying makes sense. Anything I would say is, it's not even really to our benefit that any of this is happening. So to our benefit that we get to go and of its way. But in terms of the actual, my idea is that immigration restrictions are impoverishing Americans. If we really could, and the world over double the production of the world, a lot of that actually would be enjoyed by Americans. It's not the kind of thing that we are selfishly going and helping out. I think it's more of the usual story where there's a popular policy actually bad for most.
I think let's wait. Yeah. How about for every person we elect in the United States, we export permission to anywhere in the world?
Probably quickly, but sure. So
right. Well, thank you so much for being on the radio. Absolutely fantastic. I go on for hours, but we've got our boundary on this one. I want to appreciate everything, and I hope you accept that invitation to return at a later date.
Thanks so much.
Okay, thank you so much. Today's program, we thank our sponsors for the financial support, and we'd like to thank you for listening in. You can further consult to your friends from you. Our email address is libertarianradio.com. My wife would say, you're either so you to be taken away or you're to protect them. Unfortunately, it's down. And remember, subscribe to our reminder by going to our website, libertarianradio.com, and clicking on the icon. Your name will remain confidential with us. Also, on Facebook and download your iPhone or smartphone so you can listen on your phone. Okay. Until next time, this is